It's time for food talk. I'm so happy, as I always am, to welcome my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. That would be Linda Perkins.
What was it last week? I'm trying to think.
I think you might have been Pat last week.
Oh, no, it was Matt. Cheese Matt.
Oh, yeah. You were. Oh, gosh, I forgot.
I don't have my apron on.
I know. What yeah, up?
I don't have my apron on because, okay, so long story long. So this morning, I was just sitting there drinking my second cup of coffee, and I thought, oh, I should take this to go. And I'm like, no, I have plenty of time. Sippity, sippity, la, 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 la. And then I left the house, and I came around the loop, and there's some guy in an orange vest and a whole bunch of trucks, and he says the road is closed. What? So immediately my heart started beating faster, and I kind of threw every swear word I knew out at once, but at the same time so they weren't intelligible. And then I did a U-turn, and so you can go back around the loop and then come back to where you would have started, and that takes about 14 minutes.
As it turns out.
Yeah. So I drove really fast, and I passed a lot of my neighbors on the road, breaking the law and being impolite. And so then when I pulled up into the parking lot here, I may not have actually stopped my car, but I did not have time to grab the apron, so I do not have an apron on.
All right. Well, all right. I hope you don't get flour on yourself during this show. That's all I can say.
How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. What are you cooking these days?
I've been doing a lot of grilling. You know, I love doing that.
Yeah. And it's starting to be the season, too, where you don't have to have an umbrella.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, and that's so funny, too, because that's what Dale does. He holds the umbrella.
Oh.
It's so cute.
He is such an excellent
person. I
know,
he's the best. Do you know what he said? So we went to dinner, I think, at Carruthers downtown, and we each got an entree, but we split a salad, a dinner salad. So Dale's ordering, you know, and telling the waitress what we want. And then she looked at Dale, and she says, just half a dinner salad? Poor Dale.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, he laughed so hard. And he said he was in Costco the other day and somebody hollered across the store, poor Dale.
He's going to have to change his signature.
I know. Grow a mustache. Nobody will know.
Yeah. He's hanging out with you. Everybody will know.
Yes.
So you're grilling.
Yeah, meat and vegetables. And then something I used to grill, and I mean more than a decade ago, a lot, but I hadn't in a really long time, and that is turkey.
Oh.
So not like a whole big turkey, you know how you can grill your turkey out there and then it tastes like you're at the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
But what I mean is just like the turkey breast tenderloins are easiest because they're a manageable size. They've got that weird tendon or something in their connective tissue. You got to kind of scrape that out of there, but then they're good. You can butterfly them or not, but I just marinate it, and I mean like 20 minutes in just some garlic and olive oil or just vegetable oil, and then a little bit of soy sauce, and maybe some ginger, maybe not if I don't feel like it, but most often then some basil. You know, I've always got that kind of chopped up in the freezer, and so and then I grill it, and it's really, really good. I just really like it. I like that the grill marks, the caramelization on the outside. I think it's just really, really good with it.
Yum.
Make a sandwich out of it or just eat it. Put it over on a salad.
It sounds fabulous,
I really
actually.
Like it. I just hadn't done it for a long time.
You mentioning keeping chopped basil in the freezer reminds me to say that the talent called this morning.
Yes, John Stevenson.
John Stevenson,
so
from Lost
talented.
Highways. And he had a food talk question, and so we need to address that. And that is, how do you store or how do you keep fresh cilantro?
So for me, my biggest issue with cilantro is it is the dirtiest thing that I ever cook with. So it's just so dirty. And so when I get it, usually I don't do it right, but this is just what I do. So I chop off the bottom third because that's where the majority of the dirt is. And then I put it in a bowl and I just start washing it. So it takes at least three times before there's not grit in the bottom of the bowl.
It's
really,
yeah,
really dirty. And then I just take it and I wrap it in a paper towel, and I put that in a Ziploc or some kind of Tupperware, some kind of container. And then I put it in the fridge. And I know a lot of people keep it on the counter, and that's smart. but I just want it ready to go and not full of dirt when I want to use it.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to do that whole process when I'm cooking.
Yeah. And I know when we talked about this before we went on, I said I often will just put it in a little glass of water on the counter mm-hmm. if I'm not using the whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, with parsley, with lettuce of any kind, mm-hmm. once it's washed, I soak a bus towel, a bar towel,
okay.
in cold water. I mean, I just get it wet in cold water mm-hmm. and wring it out and roll the greens of any kind, including herbs, really tight into a roll and stick it in the hydrator drawer. And it's amazing how okay. long it will last wrapped in a wet towel.
Okay.
So I don't know.
And I think that my towel gets wet.
Yeah, so well, it will. It does because you have to wash this yeah. stuff so long.
Yeah, and maybe that's why it doesn't get, you know, black immediately, because if I just throw the cilantro in there not washed, it'll be black within 4 days.
Oh, yeah, so, often more than that, yeah. less than that, yeah.
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 So one of my favorite things is just to stir fry something. And a lot of times it's just wontons that are frozen in the freezer. And I'll stir fry them, or more often I'll even boil them. And then I really like hot chili oil, you know, Chinese hot chili oil, soy sauce, a lot of cilantro, and then green onion. And mm. and just throw in those two things fresh on them at the end. I really like that. And so I use a lot of cilantro, not just, you know, in Mexican cooking, but right. in Asian cooking, I use a lot of it. I like that Asian cilantro flavor a lot.
I like cilantro pesto.
Oh, yeah. I've never made it.
It's just good on everything. But it's also a really good way to use up, you know, you've got a ton of cilantro yeah. and you only needed a little.
Yeah.
It's a good way. And it's okay. just, you know, a classic pesto, and you can throw whatever, if you want a nut in there, but basically it's cilantro and garlic and really good oil.
Okay. So I have found, I wonder if you have, that there's a couple things that just when they freeze, there's no flavor. And cilantro is one of them. Cilantro and celery for me are the two big ones. I've never been able to freeze it. And when I thought, have any flavor. If I just freeze it, like just the leaf, nothing. If I freeze it how I do basil, where I kind of grind it up in the food processor with some oil, still no flavor, no discernible cilantro flavor. And to me, like when you get dried cilantro, also no cilantro
no,
flavor.
There's no reason for dried cilantro.
Yeah, it just doesn't have any taste to me.
Yeah, I don't.
And maybe my taster's off. But that's something for
no,
me.
No, I don't think that dried cilantro is it doesn't taste like anything.
Like dried tarragon, I think, is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But dried cilantro is not.
Mm-hmm. Same with basil. Dried basil. Useless.
Yeah.
Don't even spend your money. Just don't. It's just don't. Well, I haven't tried to freeze cilantro pesto,
mm-hmm.
but I will.
Yeah.
Because it keeps. I mean, you know, it's mm-hmm. you can use it over a period of days, keep it in a sealed container, and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had to worry about that. But it would be interesting to know if the pesto freezes okay. I don't know.
I've been grilling a lot of carrots. I mean, I'm going through a 10-pound bag like, you know, it's nothing. And I really, really like them grilled. I grill them till they're, I call it blistered, you know,
yeah.
till they're almost black. And man, I think that's delicious. I saw a recipe 2 nights ago online, and you know, because in case you want your carrots not to be healthy.
And who doesn't?
These are too healthy. And you throw your arms up. Well, I have a solution.
Oh, it isn't brown sugar and marshmallows, is it? Because really?
No, I don't like that. I don't like that with sweet potatoes either. But what it is you take your carrot and you wrap it in bacon.
Oh, jeez.
And stick it on the grill. And then the last couple minutes, you paint it with maple syrup. And I'm sorry, but that sounded pretty good.
It actually sounds really good. And you know, I mean, in the olden days, we would have boiled some carrots with mm-hmm. and thrown a little bacon grease in there.
Yes.
So there you go. Same deal, huh?
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of same deal. They're starting to be beautiful green beans.
Yeah, yeah.
They aren't from right here yet, but they're getting closer,
yeah.
and they're looking gorgeous.
I love green beans.
I do too, and I miss them in the wintertime. So as soon as I see them and they look pretty and they're, you know, thin and not bumpy and mm-hmm. don't have those weird scaly brown spots
sound
on
like
them.
This when you eat them.
Yeah. So it's hard to resist them. They are just so beautiful.
I really like them steamed. I grill them too, and that's good. I like them steamed with salt and pepper, olive oil, and lemon juice from a lemon, and that's really good. The only down part is it doesn't keep leftovers. Like, you can't have some leftover.
Right.
They're gray the next day because of the lemon juice. But, I mean, they taste just fine, but they're ugly. And but I really like that. And then I like green beans stir-fried Szechuan style, where you, come on, brain, what do I do? In a wok or something that you can get really hot, just stir fry them with oil and ginger and garlic. And I'm trying to think what sauce I put on there. I think I put oyster sauce on there.
Oh, that'd be good.
So oyster sauce, when I use it, half oyster sauce, like I mix equal parts oyster sauce and sugar and then put that on there to make it extra healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like them stir fried with just a little in olive oil. With a little bit of garlic, maybe, maybe not, salt and pepper, and then tossed with cherry tomatoes and feta.
And that sounds really pretty, too.
It's beautiful. It's delicious. And it's really, really good at room temperature. So that's a cool thing to do if you're having company. You can, like, stir fry them ahead. You can saute them ahead of time and then toss it all together, because you kind of want them at room temperature before you put the sprinkle feta on.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it gets funky looking. And you don't
smeary.
Get that. You don't get the same texture kind of deal. But really good.
My friend Georgia makes a potato salad with little red potatoes that she just kind of cuts in quarters, and she puts a vinaigrette on them rather than a
like a mayo.
Yeah, that's the word I couldn't think of. Lord, how am I on a cooking radio show? What's that word? It's stuff that's white. Anyway, so it's Dijon based, and then she puts probably an equal amount of green beans in there as the potatoes, and it's really good. So it's like a potato salad with a lot of vegetables, because she puts corn, if I remember right, and also zucchini, and it's really, really good.
I bet it is. It sounds almost like a niçoise without the tuna.
You know, you're right. I never thought of
but that. But niçoise is another really, salad niçoise is another really delicious way to deal with green beans.
Yeah.
Which I think, although there are a million opinions about what a salad niçoise should have, tuna being one of the things that's arguable, green beans never arguable. They're always in it.
Yeah.
Green beans and potatoes. So.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
What you been cooking?
Well, last night I made yogurt, which isn't actually cooking, except for I started so late that I had to wait till midnight 30 before I could take it out of the little incubator and put it in the fridge.
Oh, no.
So I was saying to Tom, I need another set of jars for my yogurt incubator, because I have to wait until the very last jar is empty and has gone through the dishwasher, because I like them to be sanitized.
Of course.
So I don't wash them by hand. And then, so I have to wait, and then I have to make the yogurt, which is like an 8-hour process. Mm-hmm. So I need a second set of jars, clearly. So we're not a yogurtless
yogurt.
Day.
Yeah. Yogurtless.
Just don't want a yogurtless day.
But it's so much better when you make it.
It's delicious.
And it's not, you know how some people will say something's better when they make it, and it's not.
Oh, I've done it. I've said that. I've proved that whole thing.
But it is. You know, I do a lot of baking, and I make my own buttermilk. I mean, and it's just probably in the last year or two that I started doing that. But it is easy, and it's so much better because it turns out so much thicker, and you can baking a lot of things turn out better with whole milk, buttermilk, rather than the skim that you can buy in the store.
Yes.
And so you can make it that way, and it's just really good, and it's
same
also
deal with
a quarter of the price.
Yeah. And same deal with creme fraiche.
Yes.
Much better homemade.
Yeah. So to make it, you just get yourself some milk. If you want to make creme fraiche, you get yourself some cream. That's the only difference. And then you have to start with some purchased, like store purchased buttermilk. And so, you know, a year ago I did that. And then you just, the minimum that you can put in is 1 tablespoon per cup of milk or cream. But I usually do it more like a quarter cup of buttermilk to a cup of milk. It just seems to work better in my house. And maybe it's because my house is cold. At night, we keep it at 64. And then you leave it out on the counter, and it'll take between 10 and 36 hours to get thick, as you know, as thick as you'd like it. And you can just tilt the carton and look in there and see how thick it is. And then you store it in the fridge, and it works great.
Yep. And it's delicious. Oh, my gosh. What happened? It's a quarter to 10. What happened? I want to remind everyone that most importantly, you are listening to Coast Community Radio, coming to you at 91.9 in Astoria and 89.5 in Tillamook and at coastradio.org. This is Food Talk, a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. I'm Marianne Myers, and I'm here with Linda Perkins.
Ooh, I'm taking a food web class.
I know. We're going to cook picnic food next week. Well, this week,
yeah,
day after
two
tomorrow.
2 days. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
That's going to be great.
I kind of, you know, Wendy D'Agostino, our fabulous kitchen and class coordinator at the Food Web, is she pressures me. I'm saying that right here on the radio, to come up with what I'm going to do for classes some months in advance, mm-hmm. as a justifiable favor to her, because she's the one that puts the packets together, yeah. and gets all the recipes printed, yeah. and everything. But it's when I'm thinking about way in advance, one of two things usually happens. I misjudge the season, so I'm a month early on the picnic food class, but we're going to do it anyway. We'll just be prepared.
Yeah. Well,
when it really gets hot.
Yeah, right.
But that should justifiably have been July, I think. And the other thing that happens is that it's so far in advance that I think I could probably do like 150 things in 2.5 hours easily.
No problem.
So anyway,
that's going to be fun. I'm very excited.
I'm resistant to getting the hang of all of that, but it always works out, and we always have fun cooking, and we always sit down and eat something lovely together. So
I'm going with my friend Shell. She's one of those people that, do you have friends like this, that they'll call you and they're like, oh my gosh, if you go to store X, they're selling their salmon with $10 off per package, but it's only $9.99 a package, and so you get salmon and they give you a penny. I mean, she's one of the, you know, my friends will be at a store and call with deals. Do you have friends like that?
Well, you.
Oh, dear.
I usually, the texts I get from you are all vanilla related.
Oh, that's true, because that is my obsession. And now my brain is on vanilla and I can think of nothing else. You know, I am not a good friend. I've got a friend, Lorna, and she's allergic to nuts. And twice in the last 10 years, I have called her to let her know that nuts were on sale. Seriously. And she's just like, what is the matter with you? And I'm like, what? This is a favor that I'm doing you. And
yes.
she's like, no, they will kill me. And I'm like, oh, every time. Oh.
I forgot. But it'll be cheap. It'll be a very reasonably priced
death. Yes, for $1.76.
Oh, my gosh.
But what is it that I can't remember that? You'd think I'd be a better friend, but no, I'm busy thinking about vanilla.
You are busy thinking about vanilla, but you are on the vanguard. I mean, you are my go-to person, the oracle about vanilla, because I'm not a good shopper, and B, I don't have my finger on the vanilla pod.
You don't have to be a good shopper. Pulse. I mean, don't you have some kind of button or flag or siren in your head that goes off when you're like, I could buy this vanilla or do a house payment? Isn't there something? Warning.
Well, the thing is, though, that not all of us bake. You have two bake sales you're baking for this weekend.
Oh, my gosh. That is the most frightening thing. You know what? Driving here at about 97 miles an hour might have taken that out of the front of my brain. Oh, yeah. So I've never had two bake sales the same day, and they're both pretty big.
I'm not sure that that's true. You haven't done that before.
Really?
Are you sure?
Well, it could be like childbirth, where like you just like put it out of your brain.
That's why people have a second child.
I'm
convinced of that. Anyway, the thing is that not only do you have a couple of bake sales in 1 week, but that is seriously not that unusual that you would always be involved in some stage of a big bake sale. You bake, and I don't bake like that. I bake very sporadically and in small amounts, so I don't need quarts of vanilla.
Yeah, I made 20 carrot cakes yesterday. That's
a lot.
I know.
That's a lot of carrots. No wonder you're going through that. That's a lot of carrots.
I actually thought of that because I ran out of carrots, but I had some grilled. I thought,
I wonder.
But I used apple instead. And then I ran out of apple and I'm like, And I used pineapple.
There you go.
Yeah, it works. I've done it before.
Yes,
that's how I know it works.
That's actually a recipe, crushed pineapple. So, And it's a good combination. I don't know. I think maybe roasted carrot might be, like a little insouciant sort of.
Well, the thing is, then I remember that I put garlic on them. Oh. And so I ixnayed that.
Yeah.
That was good. The deal breaker.
That's a good thing to remember before you commit. Carrots, you know, there are local, fabulous local grown carrots right now. And they are really, really good. And I was thinking, I like carrot raisin salad if it's good carrots. It has to be good carrots or there's just no reason for it to exist. And it can't be sitting around forever. You got to make it and eat it.
Yeah.
I had a friend when I lived in Austin, Texas, who used to refer to carrot raisin salad as before and after rabbit salad.
Okay, that's it. I can never eat that again. Thank
you.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm going to have to eat my bacon wrapped carrots.
I had another friend. Oh, this is indicative of the quality of my friends in Hawaii and Texas when I lived there. I had a Hawaiian. In Hawaii, you live with cockroaches. You just do. They're everywhere. Yeah. It doesn't matter. They're in the high end hotels. They're everywhere. And she used to say with carrot raisin salad, check them for legs.
Oh, that's so disgusting. I'm from Minnesota, and we only have snowmen. That's what we have. That's all. It's so cold, you know, none of the bad things live except mosquitoes, and I don't know how they do it. They're so frail, you'd think they'd just die.
You have so many lakes, that's why.
Yeah, but they freeze.
Well, yeah. So,
but anyway, I remember traveling to Florida when I was like in my 20s in one of those little hotels that has a little kitchenette, and I put a piece of bread in the toaster, and I pushed the toaster down, and all these antennas shot out the bottom. And I was like, ooh, because all the cockroaches that were living in there, that was an eye-opener for me. Ooh.
Yeah, it's no fun. No. But carrot raisin salad, delicious. Yeah. And I just am using, I will just use the coleslaw, that classic coleslaw dressing with the mayonnaise, cider vinegar, celery seed, a little celery salt, a dash of sugar, and it works really well on coleslaw, and it's really delicious on shredded carrot salad.
And a good variation is instead of the vinegar to use lime juice.
Oh, that would really be good. Really good.
Georgia Schroed's idea. She's a genius.
Ah, lime juice. There's another expensive commodity. Limes. Often.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Not house payment.
Not house payment. No. No, that's true. Well, I don't know what's going to become of the whole vanilla thing. I don't see an end in sight.
Nope, me either.
It's going to be like saffron.
Oh, yeah, that's expensive. But I don't use as much of it.
Is that why, though?
Yeah, it could be, because it's been expensive our whole lives.
I got to say, though, that there are workarounds for saffron, and there is no workaround for vanilla.
Yeah.
There is nothing else.
I know. People keep saying, can't use almond extract? And they're like, okay, well, then it's a different thing.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It's not the same. And there are certain things like vanilla. If vanilla is in the title of the food that you're eating, you can't substitute anything for that. Yeah. So,
So I was talking last time we were on the air about flat iron steaks, how I like them, and flank steak. I just can't cook it without all the juice falling out, and I have tried. So anyway, I was walking downtown, and Pat Milliman, I mean, jumped on me, and she's like, "You are so right." And she had just cooked a flank steak the night before, and she usually cooks flat irons, and the exact same thing happened, and so that was really funny. It was kind of like what happened to me when people were, rather, what happened to Dale when people were yelling "Poor Dale" at Costco at him. So
you're being stopped on the street. Well, but I can't remember. Do you use a rub or a marinade when you're doing? Do you do that with flank steak?
I usually use a rub.
Yeah,
it just
Yeah.
Less cleanup. I think that's probably why.
Yeah. Now, for those of you who don't know, Pat Milliman is the spice goddess down there at Pat's Pantry. And I was in there one day saying to Tom Liner, her co-owner of Pat's Pantry, who is also very knowledgeable about what's going on. I said, I got a rib roast. I'm wondering what should I rub on that thing to this time? And he was like, black truffle salt.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't done it yet.
Well, so it cooks up okay. Because see now, I have such a narrow mind. I really, really do. So I think of that as a finishing salt. You know what I mean? And I would never think to cook it. It never even occurred to me that it would survive how long you need to cook. But why wouldn't it? I've got such a narrow mind.
No, I don't know why it wouldn't, although I don't normally, the the truffle in truffle salt is so it's a flake. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks like black pepper, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like a chunk of yeah. truffle. I don't know, but I'm going to try it. The man says that's what he does.
I'm sure it would work. It's just I am disgusted at my narrow-mindedness. So I was looking at a baking catalog because apparently out there they know I bake.
you're on their list.
Yeah, it had this little, it had this thing for making little, they called them, I think, little pies. And they were little fruit pies. So they were about as big as like if you did an okay sign with your finger, little 2-bite things. And I was looking at it, and essentially what it was just a ravioli maker. And so you first put down a sheet of ravioli and then how you do ravioli and then you have pasta and then you press the little indents in and then you put a filling in there and then you put a top on and then you roll over it. And it was the same process and the same stuff. And why didn't I ever think to do that with pie dough? And why didn't I ever think to do that with puff pastry? Because I think that's what they were using in the advertisement.
Oh, and that wouldn't that be easy and delicious?
Yeah, and you could do appetizers that way too. So they had little pies with pie crust and little appetizers with puff pastry. I never thought of that. Why didn't I think of that? I have a ravioli maker.
We can't think of everything.
No, I just have this narrow little mind. I will now do what the thing says I can do and nothing else.
Hey, I'm just worried about dinner. You know what I mean? I am not a trailblazer. I'm not a visionary.
Visionary. We could use puff pastry with that. Ah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think that's an excellent idea. And I mean, I could see that, you know, with just like a little Gruyere and smoked ham in the puff pastry and a little dollop of Dijon and bake it off. They'd
stick them in the
adorable.
Oven.
Adorable.
Yeah. Oh. I just never thought of it.
It's a really good idea.
Yeah. And the thing that they had made 19 of them, but my ravioli maker makes, you know, probably close to the same number. Just it'd be so much easier than hand assembling them, you know?
Yeah. So I understand that I'm making some pies for the bake sales this weekend. Both of these bake sales are fundraisers for nonprofits. Is that true?
Yeah.
So would you like to tell us who they are and where they are?
Oh, dear. Okay. So one is for the, you know, I don't know where either one is. Isn't that embarrassing? They're both picking their stuff up. Okay. So I am embarrassed. One is for the Pacific County Humane Society. I love them. You know, they're over in Washington.
Yes. But we talk about their babies that need homes here often.
Yeah. They do a really good job. And this is their big fundraiser of the year. So it is Saturday the 26th. And it's over there in some town in Washington. And I am embarrassed.
Well,
I was not prepared.
No, I sprung this on you. But it's no worries, because both of these organizations have great websites. So you just go to the Pacific County Animal Shelter website, you will find, I'm sure it's on probably on their front page at this point.
So theirs is actually Friday the 25th, Saturday the 26th, and Sunday the 27th.
Holy cow, that's a lot of baked goods.
No, it's a bake sale, but then it's also like a garage sale type thing. Oh. And then something they do that's brilliant, it's the perfect time of year, they do a plant sale too. So it's good. But I remember last year, do you remember? Because I know I talked about it, I mean, probably for 4 weeks straight on this show, somebody donated 100 boxes of cookbooks. Do you remember that?
Yes.
To that.
Did
to
you
the,
take
that
them all home?
Sale. No. It was like one of those like defining moments where I do have a problem, you know, and then you have to like go get help and walk away. But I still think about those 100 boxes of cookbooks, which also lets me know that I have a problem. And then the other big sale is for the Seaside Southwester Garden Club. And that is, I think it's at the convention center, the Seaside Convention Center, but I am not totally sure.
They also have a website.
Yes.
And Sou'wester, Sou'wester, Garden Club. And that is Saturday?
Yes. And so Saturday, just from 9 to 12, because it's one of those things that is has a giant line out front, and all the ladies in the garden club make all kinds of like potted arrangements, and there's plant sculptures, and it's all really reasonably priced, and they raise money for scholarships for plant agriculture type fields that, you know, for students. I've lost my ability to even say words. Yay.
But it's agriculturally related educational opportunities that they give scholarships for. It's a worthy cause.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for something completely scrumptious, maybe you're having family in or guests in over the weekend, you know, you could do a brunch and take full credit for it. Just go shop it on Saturday. And
like my mother taught me to say, I made the money to buy this myself.
I made the money to buy this myself. I love that. Hey, I'm very sorry to have to say that it is 10 o'clock.
Aww.
And I think we have done very little good this morning, frankly. But we have no more opportunities to redeem ourselves. So I just want to say thank you so much, Linda Perkins.
I'm going to go put my apron on.
All right. All right. There's a redemption move right there.